fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day with friends and family. I want to talk this week a little bit about what the Lord's fundamental call is in our life. Maybe a question to ask is, what is God doing in me? What does God want to accomplish in me, and how can I cooperate with that? Really, because the most important thing for us in this world, in the midst of all the responsibilities and all the work and all the focus and goals and things that we have, the relationships, the fundamental thing that each one of us as disciples are really led to by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, is to yield to what Jesus wants to do in us. The Christian life isn't so much my work, it's my cooperating with the work of the Lord in me. And so it's helpful to know, what is it that the Lord is working out in me? And bishops of the Council, the Second Vatican Council, summarized in two fundamental ways, kind of looking at the big picture, what is Jesus doing in our lives? What is he calling us to? The two fundamental callings, you might say. One's a call, one's a commission. The universal call to holiness. Every single baptized person, really the entire human race, every single person is called to holiness. The holiness that's in Christ Jesus, and you participate in that by first making a break from sin, and that is entering into the waters of baptism. If people have never been baptized, they don't know the Lord. Jesus came to deal with the unholiness, you might say, in the human race. We're trapped in sin. St. Paul described it as we're under the reign of sin and death. God drew near to save us. Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us. The purpose he came for was to destroy the power of sin and the power of death, the sin problem and the death problem. Because it's sin and death that does not allow us to draw near to God or God to draw near to us. We cannot be united to God. What is unholy, Father Cantalamessa, the Pope's preacher to the papal household for so many years, used to say time and again, he said, God who is holy cannot be united to what is unholy. God desires to be united to us, and we can't be saved without being united to God. We can't handle, we can't deal with, we can't wipe away the sin problem on our own. We don't have the power to do that because, as St. Paul said, we are under the reign of sin. There's a power in this world, in the world of flesh and the devil. The strategy of each is to lead us into greater and greater bondage to keep us separated from God. And the call we have in our life, the call to holiness, to being set apart for God, to be filled with the life of God, to be united to God, and to grow, being united to him and having our roots go deep into the soil of God himself in God's life so that we can grow to become that beautiful thing that God has made us to be. That we can't do on our own because the soil is not good. Jesus has come to give us new fertile soil, and that fertile soil is really the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. How is holiness and mission possible? It's possible because God has come to save us. God has come to give us a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, to be able to respond to the fundamental call that's built into us because we're made for holiness. We're made to be united to God, and we're made to stand with Jesus in his mission. The council documents, Lumen Gentium 36, has a great paragraph that summarizes these two things. I'll begin. It says, Christ becoming obedient even unto death, and because of this, exalted by the Father, entered into the glory of his kingdom. To him all things are made subject until he subjects himself and all created things to the Father, that God may be all in all. One simple paragraph is an extraordinary summary here. Jesus became obedient unto death. This is Philippians chapter 2, a very beautiful, beautiful hymn there that describes what Jesus has done. He humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He didn't cling to his Godhead. He became one of us in order to save us. And he saved us by dying on the cross, by shedding his blood for us, the deed that cleanses us from sin. The blood of Christ, St. Paul tells us, washes us clean. It cleanses our conscience. It makes it possible for us to have a new beginning. And that new beginning is the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes to us. Salvation, it's so important for us to see, is God's work. It's God coming to us, God coming to rescue us. We were in a condition completely incapable of saving ourselves. We couldn't shed blood that would cleanse us. Only the precious blood of the eternal Son of God offered as a sacrifice for us could cleanse us of that sin that separates us from God. The passage says, because he was obedient, because he fulfilled the Father's plan for him, the Father exalted him. Jesus has been raised. Jesus is alive. He's now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. All power and glory and majesty belong to Christ. And the Father has given him a mission as he reigns in glory and he reigns as king over the kingdom which he's established. It says, to him all things are made subject until he subjects himself and all created things to the Father, that God may be all in all. So what's happening now, God's plan as it's unfolding, is that Jesus, who's reigning at the right hand of the Father, is literally bringing all things in subjection to him. Already he has total power and authority over everything. But the offer that's being given to every single human being is Jesus extending his hand and inviting us, each one of us, to come enter his kingdom and to come under his authority. St. Paul reminds us, and I think it's Romans 14, where he says, to this end, Christ Jesus died and was raised again, that he would be Lord of both the dead and of the living. What does Jesus want to do? He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be the Lord of my life. What is he doing right now? He's bringing everything in subjection under his authority. He's inviting us to freely come now, which this now is the time of mercy. It's the age of mercy between the first coming of Christ and his second coming, when he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And everything will be subjected to Christ when he returns. The question is, I mean, all of his enemies, he has defeated the devil. All the dominion of darkness has already been defeated. So when Jesus comes again, what he's going to do is he's going to reveal who it is among us in the human race, who it is who have said yes to his majesty and his authority, who among us have surrendered our lives to him, our life to him, and freely said yes, Jesus, I believe. Unless you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, unless you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will not be saved. This is Paul's proclamation, right, in Romans chapter 10, that every single person is being offered now this grace and mercy to enter the kingdom of God and to come under subjection to Christ and his rule and his reign. So the Lumen Gentium goes on and talks about holiness now. It says, now Christ has communicated his royal power, this royal power that belongs to him. Christ has communicated this royal power to his disciples that they might be constituted in royal freedom, and that by true penance and a holy life, they might conquer the reign of sin in themselves. This is really the call to holiness. We see what God has done. Why is holiness possible? Why is it possible for you and for me to be set apart for God, to belong to God, to become transformed, to literally become a saint? That's what we're called to be. I can't remember who gave the quote, but the only real tragedy in life, knowing who God is, knowing who we are, how God made us what we're called to, the only tragedy in life is that you and me, the human beings, would not become saints. To become a saint means to be set apart for God, to be walking in love of God, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And that reality which escapes us, which we often don't think about, is a gift of God. And so when the Lord comes again, whenever that is, or when we die, what will be clear about our life, about your life and mine, our lives, is that we will know, and what Jesus will reveal is the true condition of our hearts. My heart, did I say yes? Did I welcome the gift of Christ Jesus? Did I say yes to his majesty and his glory? Did I say yes to his call to holiness? Did I surrender my life to him? Or did I keep him on the margins? Did I keep him at a safe distance? Or did I surrender my whole life to him in love? And doing that each day as we stumble and fall imperfectly, as we say yes to his rule and reign over us each day, and everything in your life and mine becomes subject to him. When it says Jesus reigns, or that he wants to make all things subject to him, it means us individually, the human race corporately, all created order under subjection to him. But what that looks like in your life and mine is that each area in our life, whether it's our relationships, our money, our time, our sex life, our work life, our recreation, everything, our entire enterprise is systematically, step by step, brought under the lordship and majesty of Jesus Christ. And that is, that's lived in a way that pleases the Lord. It's lived in a way that's consistent with his call, with his commands, and with the model of obedience that he's given to us. He's not standing at a distance. This is important for us to be able to see. He's not standing at a distance and just simply commanding. He's not even standing on the sidelines and just cheering. He's come to live in us, to make it possible for us to be able to live a new way of life and say yes to the call to holiness. And as the council describes it here, that the reason we can be constituted in royal freedom is that Christ has given us a share in his royal power. Christianity is a new life in the Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus said to the apostles, I will clothe you with power. I will send my Spirit upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And here we see the first part of what Jesus did for us to die on a cross is the negative act. It's the loving act, but the negative side where Christ has to suffer and shed his blood for our sin. The positive side is Jesus did that so that we could be cleansed, so that the Father's plan for each one of us to become a temple of God, a dwelling place of God, so that the Spirit could come and make us a new creation. We become sons and daughters of God. We're adopted into the kingdom of God. We're literally something entirely new happens. Jesus doesn't just give us a new set of commandments. He gives us his life. He gives us himself. And he comes to live in each one of us. And as we welcome him, as we live with him, as each day we obey the prompting of the Spirit, the teaching of the church, the grace and power that comes to us in the sacramental life of the church, we take one step each day closer and closer to becoming everything that we're meant to be, to live in the absolute royal freedom that Jesus himself now has. It's a sharing in his glory and his power. So Jesus sends us this power, sends us this grace of the Spirit so we can be constituted in royal freedom. Where St. Paul tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so that true penance and a holy life, and by a holy life and true penance, we might conquer the reign of sin in each one of our lives. That's the battle. And again, St. Paul's so clear on this in Romans chapter 6. There's a whole section where he talks about the power of sin and how Christ has overcome it and how we fundamentally are set free from the grip of sin and death in our baptism. Here's a line from Romans 6, verse 6. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the sinful body might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. We've been given a new power in baptism to live a new way of life, to live in freedom, the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, so that we can say yes to the call to holiness. We can fulfill the fundamental reason for which we have been made, because Christ has come to dwell in us as in a temple through the power of his Holy Spirit. I'm going to continue to talk about this tomorrow. I hope you can join me. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.